I want to amplify on what I just said there. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and I both have jobs. We both have jobs outside of the ministry, as does Dr. Angel. We all support ourselves. We do not take money from the ministry. When you give to the ministry, it is, you're giving good soil, in good soil, and that money is going for a few of the operational bills, like rent and so forth, but for the most part, it's also going to provide for a radio station that we have in Puebla, Mexico, that's reaching a lot of people, Latin America, in Central and South America, with programming in Spanish, but it's also feeding kids. Why is this so important? Cindy, why?
Because we're called to be the hands and feet of God wherever we see a need.
Right.
And you know, that might be your hometown, but it might be Puebla, Mexico. And, you know, God puts different needs on different people's hearts. And this is a need that he put on your heart, obviously, and wanted the church to be involved in it. And,
absolutely.
You know, God's people are, he called us to be there for the marginalized, for those
right.
who can't take care of themselves. So we are supposed to take care of the widows, the orphans, the homeless, the unfed, the underfed.
Right.
You know, just there's this world is full of need.
Yes.
And when you meet people's physical needs, then they are much more open to having their spiritual needs met.
That is exactly right. And yes, God took me here to Puebla in 2016 with two trips, and I was just there in January before COVID hit. And God has opened the doors for us to have this ministry there in Puebla. And I grew up in Central America. My parents were missionaries, so I have this absolute love for the Hispanic people. And it's just really been a blessing, having an angel to our ministry at Beacon of Hope. Don't you think? It's brought us out of just taking care of ourselves, like Cindy said. You know?
Sure, it does. You know, and it gives us the opportunity to reach in and be, you know, the hands of Jesus to people that would get forgotten most of the time.
Exactly. Which, you know, we don't want to do that. Yeah. We want to reach out, you know, and be that. So with all that said, Cindy, with everything going on in the world right now, it's time for people to get serious about their relationship with God. Do you want to discuss that just briefly before we go to the song? Go ahead.
Well, you have to, you know, there's that saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
And, well, that's true, isn't it?
But, yeah, and I think that right now, particularly, I mean, there may have always been this type of confusion in the world, but now social media amplifies it, and there's so much misinformation and fake information, spun information. Everybody putting their tilt on things, but it's hard to know who to believe, what to believe, and some people are very despairing right now. And so I think that as Christians, we can simply say, "Okay, Lord, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of information out there." What is it? And the need is overwhelming too. I mean, when it comes right down to it, there's enough wrong in the world that if everybody with means took care of something, there'd be plenty to keep all of us
busy. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Years to come.
Right.
Right in our own neighborhoods, all across the world. And that can be overwhelming because, you know me, I'm a giver, and I want to fix all of it.
Yeah.
And I can't. I don't have enough. So you have to pray and ask for very specific guidance.
Yes,
about,
absolutely.
You know,
where you're supposed to put your dollars.
What do you want me to do? And I keep going back to love God, love people yourself. You know,
right.
That everything should spring out of that,
right,
and be the basis for everything that you do. And, you know, we can't meet everybody's needs. We can meet somebody's needs.
Right.
And if one person makes a difference in one other person's life, and if everybody did that, then we would go
Amen.
So far into fixing so many of the things that are wrong in the world today. And,
Amen.
That's
good.
That's what God's all about.
That's
God
right.
God is all about restoration, about
right.
healing, helping, restoring, you know, lifting up.
Right.
And we're His hands and feet. So.
Well, that's why we're going to play 10,000 Reasons from My Heart to Sing by Matt Redman. There's a lot of reasons. There's 10,000. How about that?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name.
God, we worship Your holy name, and we do that. He is so amazing. We're going to Isaiah chapter 40, folks. Isaiah chapter 40. Starts out in verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Wow. God wants to comfort us no matter what we're going through. Somebody needed to hear that right this moment. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Now we're going down to verse 6 of Isaiah 40. A voice says, cry and prophesy. And I said, what shall I cry? The voice answered, proclaim, which is God talking to this prophet Isaiah. All flesh is as frail as grass, and all that makes it attractive, its kindness, its goodwill, its mercy, is from God. Its glory and comeliness, however good, is transitory, like the flower of the field. Verse 7 of Isaiah 40. The grass withers. Y'all know that. Flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely all the people are like grass. People, we're like sheep, and we're also like grass. We're not here very long, right? Verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The same Bible, different translations, but same Bible that people read 300 years ago, ever since the first King James came out in 15-something, right? That's the same Bible we are still reading. You know, look at Isaiah 40, verse 11. Now, this is what I wanted to get to, the shepherd part. Isaiah prophesied this before Jesus ever came to this earth. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. It's talking about the nature of God and the nature of Jesus, the Son. He will gather them in his bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. That's Isaiah 40, 11. What does this say about the nature of God? That he's a good shepherd, right? He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and he will gently lead those that have their young. Let's go back to John chapter 10. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, right? And he says here in verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. Did he do that? Did he do that, Angel?
Yes, he did.
When did he do that?
He laid his life down on the cross.
He sure did. John 10, verse 4, when he has brought his own sheep outside. We talked about that. The shepherd brings the sheep out in the morning, says he walks on before them. He leads them. You know that old song, lead me, guide me along life's way. He walks on before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. We are so able to hear the voice of God, and so many people put it down and say nobody can hear God's voice. We hear it through the word. We hear it through a program like this. We hear it in our inner heart, don't we? Yes. Talk about that, Cindy, and then we'll go to Angel on that. How do you hear God's voice? Because it says right here in John 10 that his sheep hear his voice. They know his voice. Mm-hmm. Verse 4 of John chapter 10.
I think so many people are wanting an audible voice, something that just speaks up and says, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. And often it's more of a, it's an intuition type voice. It's a knowing. It's not audible. It's, some people call it a gut instinct. Some people call it... some people call it intuition. There's various names for it, but it's not always. Sometimes you hear an audible voice. You know, there is that sometimes, but more often it's.
Yeah, more often it's.
Sometimes it's just peace. Sometimes
it is just peace. Yes.
You've been weighing a decision and
right.
And you finally have peace about
right.
it.
Right. Yes.
You have to listen different ways. You can't always just listen one way.
Well, let me speak to what you just said on the point of peace. Okay, Colossians 3 says, "Let peace be your umpire." That's in the Message Bible. Or the Amplified, too. Settling with all finality the questions that arise in your heart. Let peace be your umpire. So, Angel, speak to what Cindy just brought up, because that is huge. That peace that causes us to know we're making the right decision or the wrong decision or whatever.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, absolutely. Like, when we are, when our spirits are connected to his spirit, you know, we hear his voice. We hear him through the word. We hear him through other people. We hear him through how he confirms things in our life. We hear him exactly when the world, when we're in chaos and the storms are rolling, the peace that he has given us inside that lets us know he's in control and he will lead us and guide us perfectly in his will through this difficult situation.
Absolutely. And I think he loves to point that out to us. Like, yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah. I think that some people really make fun of that. I have heard people that I know that are not Christians that are say, oh, yeah, these people that think God speaks to them. Ha, ha, ha. Like, it's a big joke.
Oh, I've heard it, you know, being a psychologist, being a doctor, I've had many people go, I just can't believe you're so gullible enough to believe in an imaginary figment of your imagination.
You're right.
You know, and true. They really feel that way. And I'm like, I can't believe you don't know my God.
Right. Exactly. Well, and right here in John 10, verse 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. And we know that he did that by going to the cross, right? And then verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I'm still in John 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. There he says it again. And I know and recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. When one of my kids or grandkids calls me, and they do, and but now, you know, on the phone it tells their name. But if I did not have their name come up, it wouldn't matter. I know the voice of every one of my 13 and almost 14 grandchildren. Okay, I know their voice, okay? Now, baby Reese, he's 5 months old, so his voice is more like wah. But but you know, but I know their voices. I know my kids' voices, right? And I know my parishioners' voices. Cindy, if you called me, you wouldn't have to tell me who you are, even if I didn't have caller ID. I would know your voice, Cindy. Same with Angel. Mm-hmm. Same with, as your shepherd, I know the sheep's voice. I know what makes you guys tick. I know the things that concern you, as, and I'm just a human earthly pastor and shepherd, let alone the power of God. Angel, talk to me about that. This is powerful that he knows us by name, and we can and should be listening for his voice.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he knitted us together while we were in our mother's womb. I mean, knitting, you know, that's a very difficult task, and it's a very intimate task. It's very personalized, like, that goes in that he knows us so intimately. He created us. He knows our flaws. He knows, you know, our struggles, our worries, our fears. He knows all of it, even if we are not laying it before him. He still knows. And, you know, hearing his voice is him helping us grow into who he created us to be.
Exactly. Just thinking about that, Angel, because I propose that if any of our Beaconites called me on the phone and I didn't have a caller ID, I would know their voice.
I believe you would.
I believe I would. I just because the tone, whatever, I would know their voice. Even people from the past, I would know their voice. That's just part of it. That's just that inner knowing. How much more does God know us? And he wants us to be in tune with his voice. My sheep hear my voice. Verse 15 of John 10. Even as truly as the Father knows me, and I also know the Father, and I'm giving my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep, I have other sheep besides these that are not in this fold. Well, that's probably us, because and any mm-hmm. I mean, you know, back then that fold was just restricted to right then and there. I must bring and impel those also, and they will listen. I believe that's forward thinking. That is the present forward going on. And they will. He already knew that there would be many of us sheep that would listen to his voice and heed his call. Mm-hmm. We did that song today at the end, Master's Calling. Oh, my gosh. Angel, that was a Becky Morrison request this morning.
Wow.
She got a hold of me a few days ago. I'm feeling that we need to do this song, and it fit perfectly today.
Yes, did it,
not
it
to
did.
Right where we were. And Cindy, today at the end, after doing that song, God began to work through prophetic word to people. And I mean, it was a powerful, even though nobody, we didn't lay hands on anybody because of COVID and all that, but there was a powerful word for a lot of people this morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there wasn't, well, I'll just say this. There wasn't one person, Angel, that came up to me and go, that wasn't God.
Well, correct.
Of course, I'm bawling like a baby as all this is pouring out of me. But it was the voice of God speaking to us. It can happen that way, too. Do you want to amplify on that, Angel? And then we'll go to Cindy.
Sure. I mean, God can definitely work through other people to give us his voice and confirmations or encouragement or letting us know he's there and that, you know, he sees where we are, what we're going through. And, you know, it is always amazing when it's perfect timing and, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like really struggling. For me, it was amazing. I woke up this morning. I almost didn't even make it this morning. I was struggling really bad. And that message he had for me was like the most perfect on-time message for me.
Praise God.
There was no denying.
But it was God, and I just was the vessel. And I'm thinking about this, Cindy. You're getting ready to have your first grandbaby. And someday Angel will, mm-hmm. too. And I just had Mark and my youngest son and his wife, Candy, and their two little boys, 2.5-year-old Joel and 5-month-old Reese, here for several days. And mm-hmm. It got to the point, because after he began to spend time with me, Reese, because I went out right after he was born, and my daughter-in-law said, I think he remembers your voice. Because when I would approach and say, ah, there's that baby, he would grin and start laughing, mm-hmm. you know? He knew my voice, and he's only 5 months old. How much mm-hmm. more does the Heavenly Father know us? I didn't know why yesterday when God told me to pull this disc for today. I didn't know why and how this was going to fit in. I just said, okay, God, whatever you want. Listen to this song by Selah, His Eye Is on the Sparrow. This is an old one, but a great one. Then we'll go to you, Cindy.
Why do I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely? In love for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I'm free.
because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free.
Pray together before we go to Cindy. Dear Lord, that was your plan. And I'm so glad you led me to that song. Because I know you have just ministered to many people. That they are not forgotten by you, mighty God. That they're the apple of your eye, as it says in Proverbs. That we are all loved by you. That you, all of your sheep are your favorites. And that's all of us. And so, Lord, we thank you that your eye is not just on the sparrow, but it's on every single one of us, on our families, our children, our grandchildren, on the unborn children coming, on the pets, every part of our lives, the people and situations, friends and family that we love so much. God, you love all of us the same. We're all so special to you. And we can hear your voice. And you are our good shepherd. There's no evil in you whatsoever. You are good through and through. You don't wish bad things on us. You're constantly blessing us. As David said in Psalms, I bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me bless his holy name. He redeems my life from the pit. He forgives my sin and heals my diseases. And all the things that David talked about in Psalm 103, that's you, mighty God. You bless our lives continually. And we just want to praise you right now that your eye is on the sparrow and your eye is on each of us. We're made in your image. That you love us and have a plan for our lives. So God, I stand in awe of you this day, this morning, and now. The message that you are sending across these airwaves, let it be received. Every place in the globe that hears it, let it be received. And we give you the glory and the praise right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Angel, I think we're going to have to play that song again here in a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that do something to y'all?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. It did.
Yeah.
Talk to us, Cindy. Talk to us, Cindy.
We were talking about hearing the voice of God, and I think that the majority of the time, God speaks to you in ways that you are familiar with. So some of us have dreams. Some of us get things will leap out of scripture verses.
Sure,
some of us can hear songs. Some of us get wise counsel from other Christians. We have our go-to people that always seem to just give us spot-on advice and answers. So most often he'll speak to you in whatever your language is.
Right.
But I think you need to pay attention, too, to the things that are out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes he speaks to you in a way that is not the normal, because there's more. This one's more urgent,
right?
And
right,
he has to get your attention in some interesting, off the wall way. So don't discard either one. Pay attention to those voices that you are familiar with, but then also pay attention to those ones that maybe. Well, that's not how God usually speaks to me, you know, but this time he might be, because it's super important that you get it and you pay attention. It doesn't get lost in your everyday just being. So that's what pops into my head.
That's good.
Don't discard anything. By the same token, don't listen to just one source. Usually, you need to when you feel God's leading you in a certain way, you need multiple confirmations.
Confirmations, yes, and God will do that, which is so amazing. He does.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. Everything you just said, Cindy. Angel, I want you to piggyback on that. His eyes on the sparrow. Why does that old song, probably from the 50s, I don't know, it's been a long time ago, they used mm-hmm. to sing that in Billy Graham Crusades. I can't remember the name of the beautiful black lady that used to sing that. Just cannot think of her name right now. But, I mean, Angel, what does that do for you as we all go to Hebrews chapter 13?
Well, it does a lot. I mean, when we think about the sparrows, I mean, they're little birds that are just kind of, you know, doing their little thing in nature. And, you know, I think a lot of times we don't really think of them as having this, like, significance that the creator of the universe would know what that sparrow is doing or what he's not doing. Like, seriously, I mean, I don't even think we give it the significance, right? Because they're there,
they're
and they just do their little thing. And that he's that intimately...
Woo!
Watching his sparrow, how deep is he watching and you know, knowing who I am? If that sparrow is that significant to him.
Isn't that true? Yeah, I mean, it just grabs you that God says, you're my sheep hear my voice. I lead them, I guide them. They're about ready to fall in a ditch and I rescue Fred and any of the rest of them who are being bad, Matilda and the whole gang, right? And I pull them back from the brink of disaster because I don't want them to fall in that ditch. Guys, this will preach. Let's go to Hebrews 13:20. Now may the God of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Now may the God of peace. Perfect ending. Two scriptures here, two verses to kind of sum up the show today. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, and now in parentheses, because I'm in the Amplified Bible, who is the author and the giver of peace. So you want to know where your peace comes from? There was an old song we used to sing, He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. And that comes from Ephesians chapter 2. I believe, verses 11 and 12, that Jesus himself is our peace, who has broken down every wall of hostility. We have walls of hostility in ourselves from time to time. And the God of peace wants to bring peace to your heart today, listener. No matter what it is you've been going through, no matter what struggles you have right now, no matter how addicted you are to all the stuff going on TV, whatever it is, that's not going to bring you peace. That may bring you information. It may give you a reason to pray more. But it's the God of peace who is the author and giver of peace. Woo! Who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus. He was dead 3 days, 3 nights. And who is Jesus? The great shepherd of the sheep. By the blood, the everlasting agreement and covenant and testament. God the Father wrote through probably Paul, who probably penned the book of Hebrews, and says, wait a minute, this God of peace, he did all this through Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, and the blood, the everlasting agreement. It's a covenant. We take communion every Sunday at Beacon. We started that a couple years ago, didn't we, Angel?
Yes.
And we haven't missed a Sunday because God told me, keep doing this every Sunday till I tell you to quit. And he hasn't told me to quit. So we just keep on doing it. And it's a celebration of the breaking of the body of Jesus, the breaking of the bread. And it's a celebration of the pouring out of the blood, the wine that was shed for us. Here's our instruction in verse 21. Then I'll go to both of you for your comments. Strengthen, complete, and perfect this Jesus, the Prince of Peace, make you what you ought to be and equip you with everything good. See, the good shepherd just got good. Good shepherd doesn't pass out evil. He doesn't pass out disease. He doesn't pass out problems. The good shepherd gives you good. I talked this morning, Cindy, about the good cowboys that always wore white hats on in back in black and white TV time that I grew up in, you know, the little cowboys. And the bad guys always wore a black hat.
Yep.
The good cowboys never said, let me try your hat on. No. They were known by their goodness. They were known. The Lone Ranger. All those guys. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be and equip you. Make you what you ought to be and equip you. Quit trying to do it yourself because you can't. Equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah. Quit trying to do God's work for him. You cannot clean yourself up. The Holy Spirit will point out things and then it's your job to repent and say, yeah, I see that. Okay, I don't want to do that. To him be the glory forever and ever in the ages and ages to come. Amen, and so be it. Cindy, then Angel, talk to us about this. This really sums up. These two verses just came alive to me yesterday when I was reading and studying for today. And it just like, the God of peace. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that's going to, and I'm still talking. So I'll go, Cindy, go ahead, Cindy. Go ahead. Go ahead. just run in my mouth. Go ahead, Cindy.
Well, that is kind of your job, you know.
Yeah, so it's my job. It's my job. That's why I tell people I talk for a living.
I don't think we can get too upset about that.
Okay. All right.
The God of peace. I mean, that's what he wants. That's what he is. That's who he is. And he wants us to be people of peace.
Yeah.
As we model that
to
others. So, sometimes peace is it's not immediate, it's hard fought. You know, we've fought wars for peace.
Exactly.
Sounds weird, but sometimes you actually have to go to war to achieve peace.
Right.
Or to maintain
peace. Exactly
peace.
Right.
You know, we have to keep standing up. We have to keep calling out wrong.
Right.
When we see things that are not peaceful and that are not love, we have to take a stand.
Exactly.
And we have to say, no, you know, this is not right. This
right.
is not Christ-like. This is not peaceful. This will not lead to peace. And you know, there's a lot of injustice,
right? So much
in the world today.
So much,
just so much injustice, and it's the Christian's job to fight and speak for those who can't fight and speak for
Amen.
Themselves. We're
Amen.
Supposed to be Jesus to those who don't have anyone fighting for
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
So I think
so
we need to live out and reflect our God of
Amen. Woo! Good stuff, Cindy. Angel.
Wow. So I love what you said, Cindy. And when I look at the scripture, I love the fact that he equips me with everything good for doing his will. Like, he equips. I don't have to worry about, you know, figuring it all out for myself or using my really finite strength or resources to get. He equips those he calls to do his perfect work and our purpose for our life. Like, we just have to plug into him to get that equipment for doing what he's called us to do. I love that.
We can't do it on our own.
No, we cannot. We really, I mean, you know, and even, you know, I've heard of people who, you know, like, they felt like they thought they were called into a certain ministry and they went to these certain colleges and got these ministry degrees, but they weren't plugged into him.
Right.
They're plugged into the knowledge
yes.
and the, you know,
I've known a lot of people
academia,
like that.
Right. So like that ministry did not
didn't go.
It was not effective. No. And then, mm-hmm. I have a really great friend who he's called now. When you look into his life, like, he's lived a rough life. But when he is called, like, his ministry is on fire. Right. Like, you feel that anointing coming sure. off of him. Sure. And so, yes, he's the only one who can do it.
His strength mm-hmm. is perfect. Love this old song.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do. Success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone.
Anything today, you should hear that the shepherd, the good shepherd, is all about you. He loves you so much. You're unique. All those sheep were unique. They were not all the same. He didn't say, come over here, Fred. They had different names. They were distinguished by their name. They were distinguished by their behavior, probably. That old Fred, he's all the time trying to go over the side of the cliff. You know what I'm saying? And we are so unique to him. There's nobody like you. Praise God, Angel. There's nobody. No, I'm teasing.
But I feel the love. I feel the love. Yes.
Yeah. But he's the good shepherd. He loves us just the way we are. And I love what you brought out. Let's look at verse 21 again of Hebrews 13, as we're getting ready to get off the air here. Strengthen. He, the good shepherd, will strengthen, complete, and perfect you. Make you what you ought to be. And equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Cindy, talk about that.
Well, I like how it says that he's working, you're doing his work while he's working in you.
Yes.
So often we are waiting till we get the education. We're waiting till we get the money. We're waiting till we get to the right spot.
Right.
We meet the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a constant process.
Right. Yes.
You know, you do what you can where you are right now. He's already working in you to be help you be able to do what you can in the next place or the next step, you know, the next thing that he has for you. So,
amen.
You don't have to wait until something. Just, you know, be God's hands and feet now. In whatever way you can. It might be financially. It might be comforting someone. It might be giving sound advice. It might be something simple as, you know, I tell people all the time I'm going to pray for them.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And then I pray for them right then.
Well, yeah, you know,
I might not pray with them, depending on the situation, but I pray for them right then.
Sure.
And then you remember to pray for them, you know, do what you can right now because he's working to help you take that next step to the next thing that you need to do. And he's going to continue working that process throughout the rest of your life.
Yes. What great insight there. Angel, talk to us. Boy, this has been such a good show.
This has been a great show.
Oh, and the anointing of God is so strong still.
I mean, and if we can grab that message that he loves us so intimately and so perfectly. And I know for so many people, I hear it in the counseling room all the time, and it is so hard to envision this loving, caring, protecting love from God when people have not felt that in their human parenthood. And I know it's a struggle, but that's where that faith comes in. He is the perfect shepherd, and he loves us and knows us and wants the best for us and wants to protect us and feed us and guide us, but we have to be willing to plug into that.
We have to receive it, you know, and we have to realize that he's good and his intentions for us are good. I grew up in a church where I remember testimonies, people standing up, God put this cancer on me to teach me something.
Yes.
And as a little kid, I didn't know that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And later in life, I began to realize that is not the nature of our Father. He has no cancer in heaven.
No, that's not
He's
how he
a
works.
Good, good Father. He's good. Cindy, I quoted Graham Cook this morning in my sermon, and I said this. When the goodness of God gets to a point in your life where you are overwhelmed by his goodness for you, your personality begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to be more like Jesus. You begin to be gooder yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Better.
Yeah.
Gooder. But that was making a point. But you begin to be more like Jesus. That old song, mm-hmm. To be like Jesus, oh my God. That, I think Nathan wrote that. No, not he didn't write that one. He wrote one similar, though. Angel, talk to us about that. Just that desire to be so full of the Good Shepherd. It changes us.
It totally changes us from the inside out. You know, it changes us, and the people around us we're different. We see things different. We feel things different. We approach things different. And it's less of us and more of him when we're plugging into that. Like, the more we see him, the more we see our frailty and our flaws and our limitations, and the more we're with him, the more you know you always tell her, as a parent, I always tell my kids, you know, don't hang around the bad kids because you're going to be just like them, right?
Right.
We become who we hang out with.
Sure.
Well, then we need to hang out with God.
Right. We do. Wow. So if we get a grasp of how good God is, Psalm 27:13 is coming to me right now. David said, I would have despaired unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's right now. Okay? I would have despaired, and it's also heaven, but I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord. I would have given up. Right? I would have just said, whoa, this is too hard if I didn't think I was going to see God's goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, things can look tough and things can, the world can zip, you know, zap our hope right out of us. That's where the hope is found, is in his goodness.
People, if you take notes, write that verse down, Psalm 27:13, and meditate on it. I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I preached this morning on Lamentations 3:20-24. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, I just feel like singing today. New mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So write that down and meditate on that. The goodness of the Lord. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. I'm going to give you those three references again, because if you get that all down on the inside of you, you're going to be changing, honey. Psalm 27:13, David said, I would have despaired unless I'd believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lamentations 3:20-23 or something like that. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And then we go to Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. And then John 10, where we are right now, about the good shepherd. You each get about a final word here, because we're going to play His Eyes on the Sparrow again. I just feel the anointing all over that song. Cindy, just kind of wrap up your thoughts here, will you?
Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. God's with peace. Always live as you would want. There's a saying, be the change that you want to see in the world.
Exactly.
If you don't like how things are, then find a way to make a difference, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's signing petitions, whether it's making phone calls, praying, feeding people, homing people. There's so much need. Pray about it. God will show you what he wants you to do. And then love the world like he loves you.
Amen. That's excellent. Cindy, one final opportunity for you to say something about the goodness of God. Would you do that? And then we'll go to Angel.
You can't underestimate it.
There you go.
He'll surprise you every time.
He just loves you so much.
We as parents love to give gifts to our families and our kids. Think about if you had the resources of the whole world at your fingertips. what you could do for your family, for your kids. We serve a God who has
all that.
All the resources in the world.
Woo. Yeah. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Wow. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cindy Henderson. You are our dear, dear friend, and we just love you being a part of this radio team. And God bless you there in Idaho, your job, and all that you put your hand to. May it prosper. And thank you for taking this time to be with us today. Angel, did you have anything you wanted to say to Cindy before?
Oh, I just, I enjoy being on the radio with you, Cindy, so... Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a while since we've been on together, so I was excited when I heard that you were going to be on.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Cindy Henderson. We will talk to you very soon. God bless you. Angel, you want to give us some final thoughts before we get out of here?
Sure. I really just feel in my spirit that people need to know that they're loved. There's so many people that are feeling lonely and rejected and crushed. And humans in this world will fail you over and over and over. But the God of the universe, he will not fail you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you.
That's right.
You do. He knows you. He knows you're good. He knows you're bad. He knows you're ugly. He knows your secrets. And he loves you.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Angel. Look forward to our show Thursday night right here on tantalknetwork.com. You can catch us at 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night. Go Yard. And for those of you who are new to the ministry of Beacon of Hope, go to our website, please. That explains everything. www.bohmglobal.com. Totally revamped, brand new website about 4 months or 3 months ago. I don't know. I've lost time, track of time, because it's such a big change. So there's everything about us are there, where we are, service times, everything. Our shows, there's sample shows, there's all kinds of things. bohmglobal.com. Wow. If you have a prayer need, send a prayer request to our email, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send an email there. Did you know his eye is on you? His eyes on the sparrow. It's been Pastor Marcia, Dr. Angel, Cindy Henderson bringing you the word today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're going to go out with this song today.
Why do I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely in love for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF